Hey everybody, it's the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and you are watching the Weekly Ringer series here on ClanOfTheGreyWolf.com. Lots to talk about today, including just a crap load of really horrible movies, which we're going to highlight, stemming from my question from last week about the worst of the worst in your DVD collections and your movie collections out there. Lots to talk about there. And I'm going to give you, as I always do, my own opinion and show you my own worst movie for my collection, which I think you guys are going to... I think many of you will probably be, I think your expectations will be fulfilled by the crappiness of the movie that I'm going to show you. For some of you, though, it probably doesn't even meet the requirements of the really, really crappy-ass movies that you guys put on there. Which is why we have to talk about them. We have to talk about all of them. So, I'm going to get to that in just a second. I'm also going to ask you guys a question for next week at the end of the video for next week's Weekly Ringer, which has a decidedly much better topic in terms of good things instead of celebrating really bad things. But it's going to be specifically about the kind of level of quality games that are out at the moment, which I think is a great topic. So, stay tuned for that. So here we go. Let's see. Lots of things, and you can see, right, by the way, several of you that know the show very well, you can see that I'm already playing with the Scientific D6, which is coming up for our comment section in just a moment. For any of you that have not seen the glorious splendor of the Scientific D6 from Youngblood, you are about to see it during our little comments section. Before I do all that, I also want to make sure that we take some time, as we always do here in the Weekly Ringer, to welcome the new members of our community, folks that have been watching for a while and might have just put their first comment in or had something interesting to say because they've really been horribly disinterested by all the questions I've asked thus far and thought, hey, this is a good opportunity. Finally, this idiot asks a good question and I'll just go ahead and post something about it. Whatever the case might be, I'm glad you ponied up and I'm glad you spent some time to put in comments. I read all the comments. I enjoy all the comments. I laugh out loud to many of the comments that you guys put in there. It is a joyful part of my week, so I want to thank you all for that. But anyway, we've got, by my count, 3 new members to the community this week. I think only one of you, though, followed my instructions and said and actually did what I said in the video by telling me in the comment that you are commenting for the first time. So I'm going to mention you first. Joshua Travis, welcome to the Weekly Ringer, and thank you for following my instructions and saying, hey, this is my first post. I have never posted here before, and your other questions suck ass, but this one's a good one, no, you didn't say that. You could have said that, though, and I would have been like, okay, he's got a point. Anyway, welcome to you, Joshua. Great to have you on board. The other folks, Tasty and Harry. Now, I'm unsure as to whether there are actually 2 people commenting under the same moniker there, like there's Tasty, and then there's Harry. Of those 2, I would much rather be Tasty than I would be Harry. I can't imagine Harry's a very nice guy. I don't know. But maybe it's just one person with 2 personalities. I don't know. In any case, you know, maybe they're Tasty and Harry. I don't know. But in any case, great to have you on board. Thank you for joining the Weekly Ringer. And last but certainly not least, in fact, I think first in most categories, is Bina91. Welcome to you as well. Welcome to all of you guys. And for those of you that are watching and would like to participate in the conversation, please do so. For those of you that are interested only in hearing me jabber on endlessly about crap that you only mildly care about, then the video and the MP3, which you can find right underneath the video if you click the whole post, you can download the MP3 version of the show, any of the shows, about 10 ago. No, it's not that long ago. But many of you are asking me for MP3 versions of the show so you could listen on your way to work or listen when you are in the subway station waiting for the train. I don't know. The point is, some of you wanted an MP3 version, and I'm giving it to you now. You just got to go click, 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 go find it, go download it, listen to it, love it, enjoy it. It's the sound of my voice. All right. Without further ado, let's get into the question of last week. By the way, the sun is participating a lot better this week, so I'm very thankful for the sun for not creating a barrier to my video creation this week. Thank you, sun. Last week, I asked you guys a question about the worst movies in your collections. I asked you, you know, go dig through it and tell me what the worst movie is in your collection and tell me why and maybe how you got it. And there were a lot of cool stories that came out of this. And I'm going to mention several of them that I thought were very good, or at least ones that I thought, you know, if I had these DVDs, I'd feel pretty embarrassed about it, or, you know, just really bad movies, many of which I didn't actually even know, but had to go do a little research on it because you guys talked about how crappy they were. Several of them were just so funny, I laughed out loud at the descriptions of them that I had to include them, and I've never seen them. But in any case, as I always do, I'm going to kind of talk about some of the overarching things that happened this week. One is that many movies that you guys talked about, you probably shouldn't be all that embarrassed about. You know, I'm not sure who made the distinction of, well, maybe this isn't about bad movies, but movies that I should be embarrassed to have in my collection. I don't necessarily think those things correlate, although maybe they do. But, I mean, for example, I mean, you could have a really, you know, maybe you have a really, really good movie that is just... as a matter of fact, several of you mentioned the idea of having something like a Disney movie, a Cinderella, right? A really good movie, but probably doesn't befit the DVD collection of a healthy, grown man. Maybe. I don't know. I have Snow White in my collection. I'm not embarrassed about it. I certainly wouldn't put that on my list of most embarrassed movies that I should be embarrassed about, or the movies that were so bad that they should be on the worst movies list. But in any case, I think many of you guys have put out movies there. Several of the commenters in self-policed here and stepped in and said, you shouldn't be embarrassed about that. That's a great movie. Which I think is true. There are several movies out there I thought that did very, very well, that were good movies that probably didn't need to be. You don't be embarrassed about them, guys. It's okay. It's okay to like movies that maybe your friends don't like. Right? That's okay. Maybe your friends are just stupid. In which case, you should just get new friends. Okay? All right. So moving on to number two on my overall kind of list. You know what never ceases to amaze me about the Weekly Ringer? And when we talk about games, and we talk about music, and we talk about movies, and we talk about TV, it's incredible to me how movie tastes vary wildly. You know, you get really a whole gamut, a whole range of opinions as to what is good, what is bad, what is embarrassing, what is not, and the things that are appropriate and the things that aren't appropriate, and so on and so forth. It goes on and on, folks. The point is, I think, you know, it always amazes me to see what kind of breadth of stuff the community has a part of out there. You guys have your tentacles kind of in all kinds of different parts of culture and not just even American culture, by the way, or even Western culture, but you guys have it kind of everything. You're just absorbing a lot of stuff. And that always broadens my horizon. It's one of the reasons why I'm here. I don't know a lot of these things. I like to look things up when you guys talk about them. It's like, oh man, I never knew about that. That's awesome. Totally. So, you know, big surprise, big shock here, guys, but movie preferences and what we probably consider the worst movies of all time vary wildly. And to a certain extent, you can't trust the old Rotten Tomatoes or, you know, the IMDb star rating or whatever on a movie, because then I'm not sure that necessarily will represent the movie if you went and saw it yourself. But then again, you know, you can like a movie. The other thing is, the third thing I was going to mention is our tastes change as we get older. There is a great episode of South Park called Getting Old. Those of you that have not seen it, you absolutely should. It's on Netflix. But it is basically about how our tastes change as we get older and that's okay. It doesn't mean that we have to still be fans of the things that we were fans of when we were 5 years old. They might have been really, really cool when we were five, and that's great. And they might not be Shakespeare. That's okay too. So, without further ado, let's jump into some of the actual direct comments. I'm going to begin with the Youngblood extravaganza. And folks, I think I echo the sentiments of many of you out there when I say it's just damn great to have Youngblood back with us. One of the very originals to the Weekly Ringer and to the Clan of the Grey Wolf. It's great to have Youngblood with us. Youngblood gives me a challenge every once in a while to take out my scientific D6, as you can see right here. A six-sided die, to those of you that don't play Dungeons & Dragons. And to roll it up with a various number of choices that are on the screen, and then I will roll the die and I will find out what his choice and selection will be for this week. Here we go. That would be a final. It was a six. Final Fantasy Spirits Within. This is a really crappy movie, and I have to say, if I had this movie in my collection, I think I would be embarrassed about it. It's pretty bad. I saw it in the theater. This was during the height of. It goes to show you how things are cyclical, right? Final Fantasy VII became a part of the national zeitgeist. People knew what video games were because of Final Fantasy VII. That's how freaking big it got. So big that Square decided to fund its own movie and hire a bunch of really, really talented actors. I think the way this came about was someone at Square said, man, these cutscenes that we're making for these Final Fantasy games are really good. What if we just made a whole bunch of freaking cutscenes and cut the game out? You'd have Final Fantasy Spirits Within. At least that was the thought. It's a beautiful movie. I mean, it's CG the whole way through. Does a lot of motion capture. Actually, I don't think they actually captured any. I don't think they did capture for that movie. But in any case, they try to capture the emotions of these actors. I think Alec Baldwin's in it. I mean, like, there's some very, very prominent actors in this movie. But it as many Square Enix, at the time it was just Squaresoft, as many Squaresoft cutscenes leave you feeling, I think the movie did a very similar thing to that, which was it basically left you kind of emotionless. Like, what you're seeing is not powerful, it's not engaging, it's not very fun. It's all wrong. It kind of leaves you with that kind of uncanny valley feeling. You're staring at something that's not quite human and is kind of disgusting because it's not human. You know, watch something like The Polar Express that comes out several years later from Final Fantasy Spirits Within, and you'll see a movie that is completely CGI, but has real characters in it, and it's very engaging, and you feel, you have a sense that the characters are feeling things, and that's transmitting. Watching Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, there's no emotion kind of coming from these characters, and that really limits the efficacy of the movie. That, you wrap it up inside of an old humdrum, still crappy, garbage, you know, plot line from a Final Fantasy game, which normally are pretty absurd, and you get Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. So, awesome choice, Youngblood. As a matter of fact, I had that one down for Mr. K later on as well, so Mr. K, sorry, but Final Fantasy Spirits Within sucks, no matter who you are, and no matter what you brought it up with. All right, next, I want to talk about the Beer Ninja, who mentioned in the comment, I guess in his comment earlier, the movie Fools Rush In, which to me is probably not one of the crappiest movies ever made, but is on par with the crappiness of the movie that I'm going to show you, so I decided to put it in there. But not only because of that. The real reason I put the Beer Ninja in here today is because another one of his comments was about the entire curriculum vitae of one Hulk Hogan. The incredible mastery that is involved in not only Thunder in Paradise, but all of the ridiculous movies that the Hulkster did in the late 80s and the early 90s that were just plain awful. And those movies, if you own them on DVD, they're not only really, really horrible, but you should be embarrassed to have those, except for the fact that Hulk Hogan is freaking awesome, and therefore you shouldn't be embarrassed unless if you're around friends that you know were alive in the 80s and have any kind of semblance of culture. Oh, and by the way, the more fancy you are with your pinky in the air, that's how fancy. Anyway, that's a reference from a Hulk Hogan movie. Anyway, so Zork86 talked about The Room. This was one I had never seen. Heard about it. Heard that several of our esteemed colleagues in the movie reviewing world were taking a crack at it and thought, huh, I should check this out. I did. I did a little research on it. I agree. This has got to be a terrible movie. So much so that I'm going to go look for a copy of this, and I'm definitely going to see if I can get that thing down there to watch it, because I just think that is awful. The whole premise just sounds stupid and ridiculous, and if I had this in my collection, I probably would stick it up and say, this is the worst movie in my collection. So good for you, Zork86. Red Mage mentioned something that should be very close to the hearts and minds of all of us that grew up with the Red Plumber from Nintendo. That's right, I'm talking about the Super Mario Brothers movie. Or, I'm sorry, it's called Super Mario Brothers the movie. This thing was a vile, horrible piece of crap. Guys, do you remember when you were a kid and you watched something that was probably really crappy and you said, wow, this is great, stuff blew up, there were ninjas, and, you know, karate, and people were, you know, getting, you know, winning, saving the day, and getting the chicas. Yes, we all remember those things. We like them. That's cool. This movie was so bad that even as a kid, like, I think Super Mario Brothers the movie helped to kind of create a little bit of the cynicism that was born in my teenage years. Because when I saw that movie in the theater, I walked out going, what the hell was that? That was absolutely horrible. I don't know why they made this movie. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Fast forward several years later, I'm in graduate school. And I have a professor of performance that I'm talking to. His wife happened to be in the Super Mario Brothers movie. And I went downstairs as he kind of showed off some of the things that he's got in his collection. Showed several of us the director's chair from Super Mario Brothers, the movie. And I just kind of sat there in awe. This was before camera phones and all this kind of stuff. I was like, you know, I should have just taken a picture of it. Actually, it wasn't before that. I could have just flipped it up and taken a picture and got myself in it or whatever. But in any case, it's so terrible of a movie. It's so, so bad that there's really nothing redeeming about it at all. It's awful in pretty much every dimension. I don't even know where to go with it. I would love to just go watch it again now just to remember how awful it is, and now to be able to kind of have the critical tools necessary to make an argument about it, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that happen. In any case, I don't think I could stomach it, to be honest. Great suggestion, Red Mage. Love that one. Evening Bean. This one is one of the ones that made me laugh out loud, and I had to see it to believe it. So thank you for including links on this one. Suggested, it's difficult to even say the title of this film without laughing. Nazis at the Center of the Earth. Yes, that is a real title of a real movie. As you can see from the links from Evening Bean, who he provided generously for us all. I have not seen this movie. This movie looks to be on the crap level of pretty much every original sci-fi movie. And those of you that have been around long enough with the Clan of the Grey Wolf know that we did an entire podcast way, way back when on how awful the Sci-Fi Channel has become. Ice Spiders, you know, and the like. This movie looks even worse than that. And that is pretty bad. So, I am also going to put a star next to this one. I'm going to have to find a way to see this movie. I think it's dubbed. I think it's all entirely in German and dubbed, which means it could probably challenge my understanding of German, which would be interesting. But anytime you have a mecha, you have a super mecha Hitler, that's pretty fucking bad. That's an awful, awful movie. So I got to tell you guys, wow, that's a really bad one. I got to check that one out. I Feel Asleep put up the awful director Uwe Boll's rendition of the game Postal, which I don't think have anything to do with the game Postal. It's just that there was a licensed property, and I don't even know. I don't even remember the game Postal. I very vaguely remember Postal at all. But I remember how awful this movie was. It's absolutely terrible. Pretty much every Uwe Boll movie ever made is awful. The only one I would say, you know, was engaging with me for a little while was Blood Rain. Blood Rain actually wasn't awful. There were a couple scenes in Blood Rain that were just terrible, like beyond bad, like awful bad. if you take those out of the movie, if you just cut them out, whether they advance the plot or not, if you just cut those scenes out, I think Blood Rain's actually not a bad film. Call me crazy. But anyway, Uwe Boll has made so many awful movies, it's not even worth mentioning the fact that there are so many of them. But Postal is an awful, awful movie. And I don't even know where to go with that. It's just terrible in every single dimension. Don't see it. Unless you have a lot of alcohol and a lot of friends, then it might be fun. Nightwolf mentioned Good Burger. Folks, this is a classic. I am so glad someone mentioned this. So for those of you that don't know, Good Burger was a show on Nickelodeon in the 90s, starring Keenan and Kel. Keenan of Mighty Ducks and now Saturday Night Live fame. And Kel, who's probably dealing drugs somewhere on a corner. Was that bad? Should I said that? I shouldn't have said that, guys. I should take that out in post. The point is, Kel is not doing nearly as well as Keenan is. So Keenan and Kel, they made a movie from the Good Burger property from Nickelodeon in the 90s, and the movie was shockingly called Good Burger. This movie is awful. This movie is terrible. To call this movie anything but awful and terrible is to lie, fundamentally, about the laws of the universe. It is to deny the existence of gravity. It is to really, really deny the nature of humanity to call this anything but a terrible and awful movie. I'm so glad you mentioned it. I'm so glad I never have to hear Kel do the stupid surfer, whatever kind of accent he was doing in all those sketches. And thank God that Keenan is now doing Bill Cosby on Saturday Night Live rather than all that. I think I speak for all of us when I say that. Mr. Andy Creighton talked about a movie. This is, I'm going to tell you guys right now. Some weeks go by, guys, and I don't have a favorite comment. Sometimes weeks go by where I just kind of, I love everything you guys are doing. There's no favorite. I can't pick a clear winner. This week, I got to tell you, Mr. Andy Creighton's comment about Going Overboard, I was laughing out loud, and I had no idea what he was talking about. So I had to go look this up. Look up Going Overboard, and I must see this film. If I watch this film, I will be glad to do some kind of Commodore review video of it, because I just the premise itself seems absolutely hilarious. And perhaps it was just the lack of memory that Mr. Andy Creighton was able to remember some of the key elements of the plot. That made it even better. I just sat there and laughed. You do not even really remember what happens in the movie, but you know it was awful. That's pretty bad. So I'm definitely gonna throw that one out there for you. That's a great one. In any case, those were the comments I wanted to highlight for this week, and I wanted to give you an honorable mention because I can't in all good conscience put this out there, but I understand why some people might say this. Troy Loza Tamata, several of you mentioned episode one. Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. I can't get down with that, guys. Here's why. I'm not saying it's not that I don't think it's a bad movie. It's not that I don't think it does a lot of terrible things. But folks, if the worst movies in the world were Episode One bad, then the world would be a wonderful, beautiful place. Okay? Because Episode One does a lot of great things that movies of a quarter of the caliber don't do well, and it shows, right? And it's not about just getting really good actors. It has a definitive plot line. You might not like it. You might not think it makes a lot of sense, but the plot is there. It's got endearing characters of some kind. Even if you don't necessarily think that, there should be people that are included there that, were just ridiculous. Like C-3PO, for example. C-3PO is just as good in these movies as he was in the other ones. It just so happens that the writing is so poor that C-3PO can't really do... They can't be the Greek chorus of that they were in the original trilogy. But folks, think about how bad some of the worst movies you've ever seen have been. Episode one can't even come close. Am I right about that? I mean, am I clear? Comment, make comments. If you or send me a tweet or whatever you want to do at It's the Commodore, at It's the Commodore on Twitter, I should say, all one word. Just send me something out there if you think I'm terribly wrong about this. But I cannot, in good conscience, put Star Wars Episode One as among the worst movies ever made. I can't do it. Is it my favorite movie? No. Is it a bad movie? I'd say it's okay. But I would not put it among the worst movies ever made, by any stretch of the imagination. That leads me, though, to talking to you guys about my worst movie in my collection. I thought long and hard about this. I've got some real stinkers, folks. But nothing on the couch. I've never been kind of a dumpster diver, $5 bin at Walmart kind of movies collector. But I do have some really, really bad DVDs that I am pretty ashamed of. The one that I'm probably going to be throwing out after serious consideration and a few years of ownership at this point is the second Resident Evil movie, which only came as a package deal with other movies I got from like a dollar deal at Walmart. That movie is the most vile, disgusting piece of garbage I may have ever seen, and I hope that movie burns in hell. It is absolutely horrible. So that movie's really, really bad, but I don't think that movie is as bad or as embarrassing as the movie I'm about to show you. And, you know, I do have some other ones that are from that kind of dumpster, you know, like things that aren't really even movies, like documentaries that aren't real documentaries. They're just money grabs of people that got stock footage and kind of, you know, like Fun with the Fab Four. It's just like all this crap footage of the Beatles without narration. And they can't even play the Beatles music, so they play like likeness of the Beatles music. It's just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Anyway, I don't even know how to introduce this movie. It's just bad all around. And as much as you might have loved, Saturday Night Live back in the 90s, this movie's just terrible. Corky Romano. This movie is in my collection, and it is absolutely... it's bad. It's really bad. It says right at the top, from two of the producers that brought you Waterboy. Now, like, not the most important producer that brought you Waterboy, like, say, Adam Sandler. But the other two producers that brought you Waterboy is now bringing you Chris Kattan in Corky Romano. This movie is bad on every level. There are a few chuckles to be had, and I do remember them. All of them are in the preview, so just watch the preview, and you never have to watch the movie. You know, I think of like Chris Kattan in like the Girl Scouts little uniform going, "You guys want some cookies?" Like that's mildly chuckleable. Where he sings, in this movie, he sings "Take on Me" in his convertible. That's funny. That is legitimately funny. That is the only funny movie moment out of the entire movie. The rest is absolutely awful. Don't waste your time with it. I don't even know why I still have it. In fact, I should just go back and watch this thing just to see if I remember it being this bad and it actually really is this bad. Because it just... I can't get over it. I remember it being just so freaking horrible. And I don't even... Actually, I know why I got it. The only reason I have it is because it was a gift. I mean, you can't throw gifts away. Someone gives you something. This was many, many years ago, I think, as a joke gift for my birthday. Someone got me Corky Romano, and I still have it. I'm paying the price all these years later of their crappy present giving. And anyway, what an awful movie. I gotta shake that one off. It's just terrible. All right, so that is gonna wrap up our conversation of the worst movies in our DVD collection. Great conversation this week, folks. Loved it. And I think we're going to shift gears really, really heavily for next week. Because I wanted to ask, you know, here's, for those of you that don't know, we just came back from PAX East. And PAX East this year was actually really, really good. There were some flaws in it. We can talk about that later. We'll probably talk about it on the next Echo Screen, which is coming up in a few weeks, as a matter of fact. So the Echo Screen Live, we'll do a little rehash of PAX. But one of the things I was struck by at PAX this year was that more than ever, there seemed to be a lot of really good games that were coming up, or had just come out, or people were working really, really hard on at the moment to bring to the public, right? And I think I was struck by that. I was struck by how many cool concepts there really were, from tablet-based games to the new Ouya console to really AAA titles all the way up for our next generation of consoles, which are coming out by the end of this year. The fact is, folks, there's a lot of really cool games that are out and a lot of really cool games that are coming out. So if you love games, I think it's a good time to be alive, even if it is frustrating, because I think in some way, you know, it's frustrating for somebody like me. There are a lot of great games. I don't have time to play them all. I've missed games that I should have played 10 years ago that I feel terrible about because I didn't get a chance to play them. You know, I've still never played Psychonauts, right? I mean, that's just, I would love to play that game. I just, anyway. My question for the Weekly Ringer, though, is going to deal with this topic, and it's going to go something a little bit like this. This is the question I want you guys to answer for next week. Are there more good games now than ever? And what I mean by that is not cumulatively. Like, well, of course, you idiot. If we go back and look, now there's a lot more games. So, of course, there's a lot more good games because all the good games from the past are still around, right? Yes, I get that. That's not what I mean. What I mean is this. If we took each year as a snapshot, 2011, 2012, 2013, and you compare that to 1996, 1993, 1987, would you find that there are more good games on an average scale now than there were back then? That's really what I'm trying to hunt down. So think about it. This is not an easy topic. You know, think a little bit about it. Think about what kind of games you played recently, what kind of things that you think you should highlight as being one of the best of the video game years, and let me know about it. I want to know what if you think games are better now. There are more better games at this moment than there ever have been in history. I think there are a lot of cool answers that could come from this conversation. So I look forward to your comments, as I always do. So that's what I was going to talk about today. I want to remind you all, if you are going to comment for me, and it's the first time you've ever commented on a Weekly Ringer video, please let me know it is your first comment so I can welcome you to the community, because we love each and every one of you. That the 100th Weekly Ringer is nigh approaching. So I hope that I've seen several ideas that are just filthy good, just awesome good. And I'm definitely considering all of my options in this regard. I think the 100th episode of the Weekly Ringer should be something really cool. I was never sure when I started this thing that we even get to 100. We'd even get to 50, right? So here we are getting close to 100 episodes of the Weekly Ringer. That is a testament to you guys as much as it is a testament to me. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for watching. We're going to keep this thing going. So if you have an idea about the 100th episode and what you think I should do, continue to comment on the video. Continue to send me emails at Commodore128@clanofthegreywolf.com. Or, as I mentioned before, you can follow and tweet me on Twitter at It's the Commodore, all one word, ITSTHE Commodore. Which I do have some fun with. It's a good little device for seeing my daily musings if the weekly variety don't appease you. In any case, tell me what you think I should be doing for that 100th episode. Come up with ideas. I don't care how outrageous and ridiculous they are. I need to consider all the options, folks. It's got to happen. So, with that, I will bid you adieu. So I thank you guys all for your patronage here on the Weekly Ringer. Thank you for watching. Thank you for commenting. I am the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and there is no reset button.